Good evening and welcome to Carol's Corner on Technology with your host, Carol Smith. Carol covers the technology stories, issues, devices, and newsmakers of the day on radio and TV, from smartphones to GPS, from biotech to the internet. Technology powers and empowers our lives in this knowledge economy. Carol is most known for her contributions to the City of Philadelphia as the Executive Director of the Mayor's Commission on Technology. I'm Stephanie Lowe, your guest co-host in for Carol tonight, along with a very special in-studio guest who we'll introduce in just a moment, and I'll be here until 8 p.m. Carol regrets not being here this evening. She sends her warm regards as well as New Year wishes to her loyal listeners. She'll return to the airwaves soon. Behind the scenes is Kiyasha Tyson, our program producer and board operator extraordinaire. We always appreciate the efforts for this program. We want to give you our call-in numbers because, of course, we are live on WURD, and you can call us at 215, call locally at 634-8065. That's 215-634-8065. And toll-free, you can call us 1-866-361-0900. That's 1-866-361-0900. We always want you to have a pen and paper handy during the show, or because we give lots of information that we think will be valuable to you. So be sure to have that nearby, as well as we want you to know that you always tune in online at 900amwurd.com. Once you're on the website, just click and listen. We'll be back in just a moment. On my chain, wind around my neck, I'm taking my freedom, putting it in my car, wherever I choose to go, it won't take me far. I'm living my life like it's golden, 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 golden, living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden. Living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden, golden. I'm taking my own freedom, putting it in my song, singing loud and strong, grooving all day long. I'm taking my freedom, putting it in my soul. I'll be hot stepping, y'all, letting the joy unfold. I'm living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden. Living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden, golden. Living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden. On 900 AM WURD, you're tuned to Carol's Corner on Technology. I'm your guest host in for Carol Smith. I'm Stephanie Lowe. We were giving you the call-in numbers before we went to a short break, and we'll explore tonight the topic Technology 2009 Wrap-Up. What an appropriate title and show for the end of the year. Our top IT stories for 2009 we'll share with you. We'll also explore this year's technology inventions and advancements. We'll look at obsolete technologies to consider killing before we actually reach 2010 in just a couple of days. And we'll explore, guess who was named the CEO of the decade? Yes, a tech guru, none other than Apple's Steve Forbes. So we'll talk a little bit about him tonight. And I mentioned our in-studio guest is Christopher Wink, and he is with Technically Philly. He's a co-founder of Technically Philly, and he has some other contributions as well that we will list when we formally introduce him, but we want you to know that he is standing by to chat with you. We want to top off or begin our program tonight with just looking at what the top IT stories are of 2009. And if you went to visit computerworld.com, they would give you the full 10 IT stories as the IDG news service has picked for 2009. But we're going to share about five of them with you. And so let's get started. Microsoft launched Windows 7 on October 22nd. It's the new operating system, which is faster and more straightforward than its predecessor, Vista. Vista was plagued by hardware compatibility problems and poor performance. And so the older Windows XP, as probably many of you still have, in fact, there's supposed to be about 70% of computer users who are still using it. But remember, Microsoft has launched Windows 7, so you want to have the most updated technology. Google unveiled Chrome OS. It's about a month after Windows 7 launched, and it's a Microsoft's arch nemesis, released its new Google Chrome operating system to the open source community. Chrome is built to run only web-based applications and is not meant to replace the current PC operating systems. Believe it or not, our president included technology in the stimulus plans. As you know, the president's stimulus plan approved by Congress in February included $7.2 billion for broadband deployment, $17 billion for incentives to adopt electronic health records, and $11 billion to hook up the electricity grid to the internet. So we know that our president has been deemed the first technology president of the United States. And so, of course, we appreciate him putting technology in the stimulus plans. Microblogging business explodes, believe it or not. Now, what is microblogging? It's a short post to your personal blog about the happenings of the moment, and Oprah Winfrey and other celebrities jumped on the Twitter bandwagon to solidify the status of microblogging and social networking technologies in 2009. So thank you, Oprah, and other celebrities. And then we have the Droid. It escalates the smartphone battle. Verizon Wireless launched the Droid. It's a half-inch thick contender for the smartphone crown, believe it or not. It launched it just in October, so it sports a 3.7-inch touchscreen, a metal top, and a sliding keyboard. The device is the first serious challenger to Apple's iPhone and Research in Motion's BlackBerry. So you have most of the top stories. The other one that I'd like to mention is the fact that Google and Microsoft in 2009 started a war, if you will, a heated battle they had, and it's predicted that it will escalate in 2010. These high-tech titans really were trying to go after each other's market share and revenue stream in internet search, operating systems, enterprise applications, and browsers. So we're going to bring Chris into the discussion now. Chris Wink, who is a co-founder of Technically Philly. Chris, these two companies really squared off this year, didn't they?
They did. And first, thank you definitely for having me. But 2009 was I think, a place for a lot of competition in technology. We're definitely at a point where a lot of these big watershed conversations that you mentioned, a lot of major players are comfortable enough there that no longer is the space large enough for them to dabble on their own. And it's one example, certainly.
Well, it's interesting. I just want to give you, I guess, a better introduction than I did before, because you have a number of credits to your name.
Maybe.
Yes, you do.
Depending on what standard.
And it's in good standing. But you're actually a multimedia freelance journalist. You're actually based here in Philadelphia.
In beautiful Fishtown neighborhood, not too far from where we are right now.
Fantastic. And in addition to you being co-founder of Technically Philly, which is a news site that covers technology and innovation for the region, you're the web editor and business manager for Northeast Philly, which is a hyper-local.
Neast Philly, we always get that. It's neastphilly.com. It's for the Northeast. For Northeast Philly, but it's neastphilly.com. Forgive me.
Okay, thank you. That's fine.
Have to do that plug, right?
Absolutely, you do. But it's a hyper local news site for Northeast Philadelphia. Isn't
right.
It? Hyper local meaning.
I always define. I mean, we have local news. I've always thought that hyper local is a meaningful enough term when you talk about the fracturing of any coverage area. So Philadelphia is a metro market. When you start slicing and dicing, that's when I, just for specificity's sake, it becomes hyper local. Is it superfluous? Perhaps, but. Nonetheless, we use it.
All right. Well, we see that the internet continues to change everything it touches, really. And
sure.
Since we're focusing on tech inventions and advancements, it's interesting to note that your company, Technically Philly, is a startup online targeted news site, and you actually co-founded and launched it in February of this year. So first, we say congratulations.
Thank you.
How's your growth?
We're really pleased with it. Naturally, as we spoke about a bit earlier, the conversation constantly moves to revenue growth. If you want to create a sustainable business and platform, that's where you have to go. But editorially and audience-wise, we're really pleased with it. It's targeted. We did about 15,000 unique visitors last month. So it's small, definitely small, but targeted in an audience of mostly startups in a community that is really vibrant, and that's Philadelphia. Just trying to be a voice box for bridging the communities You know, we talk about covering the community of people who use technology in Philadelphia, and it's something that I'm sure you know well, that there are so many different pockets in Philadelphia that are doing innovative things that often happen to be web-based, but might not always recognize themselves being technology-based. So we talked about competition. There's a lot of big mergers in the region based around pharmaceuticals. They're doing a lot of innovative stuff. That's someone we're trying to cover, in addition to the you know, social media-style startups in Philadelphia. And also the giants like Comcast. There are a lot of these very different parts, VC and incubation. There are so many different elements to the concept of entrepreneurship, innovation, and technology in Philadelphia that we're hoping mostly just to be a voice for that. And in some ways to give that voice to that, to promote this as a region that is really vibrant and really important to the region's growth, the city's growth. Everyone talks about the opportunity for technologies to as you mentioned about the web, to turn gold everything it touches. What an opportunity to create jobs, an opportunity and a lot of great social change and technology. And to do that, you need a voice that's going to stay to it, stick to it, and promote it. And that's what we're hoping to do.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that you are considered the voice. I'm wondering how have the larger as well as the smaller startups embraced you as that voice?
I'll always preface with a great deal of humility that I don't think we'd ever say that we see ourselves to be the voice. It's always that goal. We're nowhere near there. We could do 80, 100,000 unique visitors, and we wouldn't be a point where we really felt we were really representative to be a voice. It's a goal. It's not where we are. That said, I think pretty universally we get praise, not necessarily because of an innovative product or editorial product. I think it speaks less to what we're doing and more to the realization that people, that folks think it's important. So when like a guy like Josh Koppelman at First Round Capital, you know, it's a big name in VC in the world. He's someone who's noted, you know, he's based in Philadelphia, Conshohocken, and he will talk about the power of needing a centralized, localized voice of the technology community. But then also, you know, a 30 something who's just started an iPhone app building company, and he and his friend run it. They're praising it for an opportunity to get their products pushed out to an audience that need it. So the response has been tremendous. And again, I definitely think that speaks more to the nature of these quarters needing to be covered and promoted. We have a lot of great media in Philadelphia, but sometimes there's just not enough tension spread to the really great stories.
Well, it's interesting that I think your concept for this voice, Technically Philly, which you can go to technicallyphilly.com,
yes,
just so everyone knows that in case you haven't been on the site yet. But I think it's so needed because I was in a meeting with several technology professionals, including technology executives, Alan Frank, Chief Technology Officer for the City of Philadelphia, and he mentioned Technically Philly. So the fact that you have the senior level executives who are looking at your site is key to you. And one of the issues, in fact, that was addressed at that meeting is how do we merge, I guess, and create more awareness about not only the large technology companies like a Comcast or Verizon, but the startups as well. So I just want to say congratulations because your finger is on the pulse of what's needed to create awareness about technology in the Philadelphia region.
And it's so true. I mean, a moment story that's recent enough that it's worth mentioning. Chris Bartlett is a guy in Philadelphia who's for two decades or more has been a really staunch activist in Philadelphia's gay community, LGBTQ community, I should say. He at a community event, a technology of sorts community event in Philadelphia called Ignite Philly, which actually folks in the city have been participating. Just a very short segments promoting a certain idea. Anyway, back a few months ago, Chris gave his presentation about him wanting to chronicle online the biographies of the 4,600 gay men who died of AIDS during the AIDS epidemic of the late 80s and the 90s. And he wanted to do it in a wiki platform, so let the community edit it. So a pretty innovative web-based platform. It certainly was a Technically Philly story, and we saw it really important. We saw it as a story that was ours. And so we ran a story. I actually talked to an editor at Philadelphia City Paper, ended up doing a cover story about Chris. And then you know, nothing short of the New York Times ended up doing a profile on Chris and Chris's site. For him, it's the Gay History Wiki. You can Google that and you'll find it. And that hits home to what you just suggested, that I think that's how you do it. It doesn't have to be a lot more complicated than just finding those stories when they're, you can see the power in them, but they don't yet have the voice for everyone. And Technically Philly, we did a very technology-based angle on it, but certainly talk to the power of a story of covering the 4,600 gay men who died of AIDS and the AIDS epidemic, and let the community report on them, which is speaks so much to the power of technology. And then that grew from, you know, to one of the big legacy news organizations in Philadelphia, and then went to one of the biggest national publications in the country.
So soon we'll be calling you a news leader, huh?
Well, I don't know about that.
Similar to CNN, but
it's the opportunity to cover that community and push it out nationally. And that's when we talk to folks, that's what we talk about. That Technically Philly, you're not going to get a story on Technically Philly and get huge startup funding. You're not going to get it and then add 12 million users. No, you'll get it in Technically Philly, and then that's where other folks, we hope, will increasingly go to find stories out of Philadelphia. And so we want to be that voice box to push stories nationally. We won't be the national voice. We don't want to be. We want to be the opportunity to be a voice box for this community of technologists in Philadelphia.
All right. Okay. A wonderful, wonderful example. We mentioned startups before and how we actually go about, how do you actually generate revenue from a technology startup such as yourself?
Yeah,
is only banner ads?
It's not, and it can't be. Is a real heart of ours. So, the 15-second preface that I always like to add in our coverage, we really try to do a lot of incubation and VC coverage, because it's real, in Philadelphia, particularly, very much based in innovation, as you'd expect. And the three of us there's three of us who launched Technically Philly: Sean Blanda, Brian James Kirk, and myself. We're all in our mid-20s. We're fairly young by standards of developing and publishing product. In our coverage, we came across Dream Adventures, very well-known, respected incubation program in University City. And in covering some of the companies that came out of there, they are a bunch of young people in their mid-20s who have an idea and a business plan, who get mentored and curated and develop their product around revenue. And at some point, a few months into our product's nature, and we're not yet at a year old, but a few months in, we thought how strange that is. We are in a lot of ways very similar to those whom we're covering. We're mid-20-somethings with what we think is a viable and important product and need to create revenue around it. And that'll tie into something I want to talk to you a bit later about, but what that moved us to realize and focus on is the unsustainability of advertising as a single-place platform for online-only products. You're dealing with it, you know, a similar-sized advertising pot that you had in 1975, but you now have 100,000, 500,000 more products who want to vie for that those advertising dollars. Our take has always been as irrational to think you should create a product that's only advertising, only if it's going to be web-based. So Technically Philly, yes, you know, we certainly are curating and approaching advertising. I certainly add there are ad sales managers always looking for phone calls. That's true, but we're careful and insistent on developing products that go beyond advertising. So something as very simple as a jobs board. Yes, there are 5 million jobs boards in the world, but one that we thought had real value was offering, based around technology and entrepreneurship in this region. No one else was going to do that. Even great players like the Inquirer aren't going to specify to an industry and the region. We did, and in, you know, it's still just a few months old. That's probably been brought in a maybe even a lion's share of our revenue, and we are talking about modest revenue. Still, that is an opportunity. We're trying to play more into the events platform. If you talk to anyone in the nation, any online only new startup that's brought in revenue, and that group you can probably count on a few hands. But everyone who's doing that is talking about the use of events, whether it be some free events that are then sponsored by products that want to have a banner or want to be able to access folks who would come to your events. That's a possibility. Maybe long term some paid events, though that's not quite where we are. And we're always gunning for probably a membership cap. Again, we're not even a year old, so we're bringing on revenue as slowly as we can to respect our community, so it doesn't seem like a money grab, but ultimately the membership problem is something really important.
We appreciate you sharing with us, because the first question to start when you start any business is, how is it going to make money? So that's very helpful to listeners who perhaps are considering startups. And we're going to come back in a moment, Chris. You are tuned to 900 AM WURD, Carol's Corner on Technology. I'm your guest hosts, Stephanie Lowe, as well as we have Christopher Winks with us from Technically Philly. We'll be right back. Welcome back to 900 AM WURD, your station that provides solutions. I'm Stephanie Lowe, guest host, in for Carol Smith. You're listening to Carol's Corner on Technology, and my guest co-host is joining us by phone as well, Lloyd Amele. Lloyd,
hi.
How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm doing pretty good. How about you, Stephanie?
I am well. I'm well. I heard that your flight got in a little late, so but we appreciate you joining us.
Yeah. I'm stuck here in Atlanta, but connected though. I'm always connected.
Stuck? Did he say stuck? Did he say stuck
poor
in Atlanta?
Atlanta.
Oh,
Atlanta.
Joy! Boy. Well, we appreciate your dedication to WURD and to Carol's Corner on technology as well. We're talking about our topic tonight, which is the Technology 2009 wrap-up. And we have guest Chris Winks on from Technically Philly. He's one of the co-founders.
Oh, hey, Chris. Hey, Chris. Yeah, I was checking out your website. It looks really good.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad someone thinks so. No, thank you so much.
Yeah. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan. It looks like it's doing well. I guess it hasn't even been a year for the Technically Philly yet.
We're still baby young. Not quite there. I haven't even gotten the teeth yet. But in February, we'll turn two.
That's good.
So, Lloyd, I didn't know. We were talking a little bit about his company. I'm not certain if you were able to actually listen, but didn't know if you had some comments that you just wanted to add tonight to our topic, Technology 2009 wrap-up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Chris, it sounds like you do a lot of blogging and writing for different organizations, and I guess you guys just started this company to... What's exactly the main goal behind Technically Philly? That's my question for you right now.
Sure. It's to give a voice to the communities that use technology in Philadelphia, whether it's in the broadest or small sense of innovation and entrepreneurship, creating jobs, doing good works, changing how we interact with ourselves and others and products. Anyone who's doing anything innovative in Philadelphia, we want to be a voice box for that.
Awesome. So I guess 2009 is wrapping up, and it's been sort of an up and down year for technology. What do you see has been the biggest advancement in technology this year?
Sure. Obviously, we talked a little bit earlier in the show about how many stories there are. What I have to think is going to continue to be the big story, or at least interests me most, the way technology affects publishing, and most specifically, the continued development of mobile devices in the pocket, of smartphones. I think it's something like a quarter of U.S. households next year are expected to access the web via a mobile phone, and I think the conversation around digital divide is older than I am, and this has been perhaps the most serious play against bridging the digital divide, and that is getting that essentially the laptop in your pocket and getting that to as many people as you can. And this is a conversation that's been going on for a few years now, but 2009, it sure at least felt like, and I can't say I have numbers top of my head now, but it sure feels like 2009 was that year where it went from a couple years ago, you just had the BlackBerry in your pocket if your job gave it to you, and in 2009 it became your neighbor had one, or your aunt had one,
or your grandmother had one,
and that development, that's incredibly powerful for so many ways. One, you can access Technically Philly on your smartphone, technicallyphilly.com, but perhaps more powerfully, the opportunity for folks who aren't going to get on the web otherwise to have access to the web. That's powerful to me, and obviously that'll continue. But I think that was a big part of 2009 getting into the mainstream.
Lloyd, I'm not certain if you saw on Technically Philly's website, but Chris and his cohorts have actually launched a new service as well. It's called the News Incubator. It's a business services hub and collaborative newsroom for niche news sites in Philly. So, Chris, why don't you tell us a little bit about your News Incubator?
Sure. I can't possibly take credit for it actually existing yet. It's not. It's very much a pitch. Technically, Philly is probably a flagship that we hope to get there. News Incubator is the end goal. But yeah, the very quick pitch is a few months into our development of Technically Philly, we found the real obstacle was bringing on revenue while still trying to create an editorial pop product, all doing that part-time. Technically Philly is certainly not my main source of income. It can't be. So in conversations with other hyperlocal news sites and niche news sites and folks who are creating podcasts and video shows and other blogging and news sites and other platforms like that. Everyone had that same conversation. I know how to curate a community. I have a community. I want to do more, but I have to bring on revenue, and I can't quite focus enough time on that yet. So it made sense in our minds to pool resources and talk about collaborating around a lot of services, you know, like an ad sales team, like marketing, like things like libel insurance and health insurance long term as you bring that on. So it made sense to collaborate. And that's the main part of it. Often it comes back, well, how is that different than just creating a newspaper other than it being a little bit more organic? All of the products we would always suggest we'd want them to be editorially decentralized. So the pitch for News Incubator is that it is an incubation program for media sites. You maintain your editorial identity, but your business plan gets curated, developed, and put into place with a lot of experienced folks, and you pool resources to make that happen. So your city hall coverage is probably going to get funded differently than NeastPhilly.com covering Northeast Philadelphia, because those are very different audiences. News Incubator would help develop those business plans, just like any other incubation program, like Dream It would, but you keep editorially decentralized. So that's the pitch. It was initially a pitch for the Night News Challenge, but it's certainly now just the conversation we're trying to put out there, because we think this is how you're going to create that next generation of news. And in our minds, the next generation of news is a dozen or more niche news sites that have pooled their back-end resources but maintain editorial independence. So it's very much a pitch. It does not exist, although we're always looking for folks to reach out to us at technicallyphilly.com, because we're spearheading kind of the conversation. If you have a niche news site and you want to talk about partnering and a lot of these things, reach out to us, because we want to see how we can do this on our own.
All right. And where can people reach you?
Sure. So newsincubator.com is certainly the web platform. There's certainly contact there. Chris@technicallyphilly.com if you'd like to be direct as much. But technicallyphilly.com certainly is a platform that has all that.
All right. So, Lloyd, we're going to segue just to talking about some of the technology innovations and advancements for 2009. Chris, we talked about smartphones a little bit. Tell us about the Pongi phone, the Pongi phone,
iPhone. And I won't pretend to know a great deal of it more than this, because I really, it's a conversation that got caught up apparently in some folks. I haven't heard it a great deal. It's a startup that I don't know much more than it's apparently a some sort of cover that would, in this case, go over an iPhone, and it's meant to kind of reduce, some radiation. As we talked about earlier, when cell phones first started getting in the mainstream in the mid-90s, there was this every other 2020 show was about how the radiation is going to ruin your brain. That really hasn't necessarily come to fruition as much as we scared everyone into thinking in 1993. But there's still, I think, always some fear there. So I think it's the Pong. It's just a coverage that I guess some FCC trials have shown that it does reduce at least some of what is emitted. I don't think it was nearly as widely commented on as a lot of other technology stories, but an interesting one.
Well, I found mind-boggling is that the tablet computers, obviously we've gone from notebooks and netbooks and now smart books.
Yeah. They continue on. And what you're seeing, what we're all seeing, is the convergence of media, right? I mean, there's that argument that every TV station, book publisher, newspaper, website, everything is going to be in one form with somewhat of variations. And pocketed with that is the development of where you're going to view that. So the convergence of the television, your cell phone, your book is one we'll continue to see. Everyone's just coming at it a different angle. If maybe, you know, e-book developers are obviously coming more from a book platform. Boxy and other startups started talking about bringing the web to TV to the web. They're coming more from the TV platform. Everyone's coming from a different platform, but it's all toward media convergence. We're all racing to the point where your cell phone or some variation of a cell phone can offer you the opportunity to consume any kind of media you want in the most comfortable manner. And that's the race we're having. E-readers are obviously a big conversation around newspapers, having in some sort of vague talks with Apple about trying to have an iTunes-style method to save the newspaper industry. Whether that's even realistic is not a conversation for now, but it's the convergence of media is what really ties into all these developments we're seeing.
And Lloyd, I know you can probably speak to all the way from Atlanta, cloud computing.
Yes. Cloud computing is the place that all of this technology is going to be taking place next year. All these devices and these new inventions and tablets, you know, the next level of iPhones. These are all going to take advantage of the cloud computing architecture that's being developed and being going to be the next level internet. And Chris, I know you're probably familiar with cloud computing. What are your thoughts on cloud computing and where it's going next year?
Sure. I mean, for the quick pitch to get folks caught up. I mean, the conversation about cloud computing is a whole lot simpler than the phrase cloud computing often will make it out to be. When you first started having a computer in your home, you saved your family's photos onto the desktop,
right,
or onto a file on your computer.
Right.
Now folks are instead uploading to Flickr or Picasa or another platform, and it's being stored on a server,
right,
somewhere. So it's still served somewhere. It's essentially just saved on a computer in Mountain View, California, or some other nondiscreet location.
Exactly.
I mean, it'll continue, right? I mean, there's no real doubt there. Will we have the occasional story about some files being lost because a server melted somewhere?
Yeah.
That'll scare people, and we'll have the stories on TV about how someone lost their last photo of their great-grandmother because it was on a server. But, I mean, then again, cloud computing, there's so many different servers that really is not a possibility. But the point is that we'll continue to have those fears around giving so much data. Increasingly, Google's going from being this fuzzy company we love to being the holder of every great piece of data they ever had about you.
Right.
And cloud computing is a big part of that, because when that photo of your grandmother's on a file server somewhere, there are folks that will get creeped out about that. So cloud computing will naturally continue because it's just so darn easy. Technically, Philly, when we talk to folks about developing a newsroom of the future, right now we telecommute, and when we talk about development of long-term stories, we're doing it in the cloud. We're sharing stories not on our local desktops, but in a place where all three of us can access and develop it on our own, and that's real powerful.
We also want to mention a couple other developments, and Lloyd, we're getting ready to go to break in just a moment, but internet TV, it's reported that less than 10% of television sold in 2009 were what's called IPTVs, or Internet Protocol TV sets.
Right.
And they're capable of actually tuning in select internet-fed services like Netflix, Amazon, Video On Demand, Vudu, Pandora, Facebook Photos, etc. But the market forecasters are, I believe, in 2010, the sales percentage will soar. And then, finally, you're going to have 3D in your face, meaning many of you probably have attended 3D movies in theaters. Well, the consumer electronics industry will push hard on new age 3D TV products for your home theater in 2010. But of course, you'll still be required to wear those glasses, those 3D glasses. And so
they're actually kind of cool now. They're kind of stylish.
Are they really?
Can I get them in
purple and, you know, psychedelic tie-dye? And
come on, Stephanie.
Well, you said they were kind of cool.
I suppose you could paint your own. I guess you could.
One day, right?
Matter of fact, you could start a business. Throw that on technically Philly. Start a new business.
Why not? You are tuned to 900 AM WURD, your information station committed to solutions. I'm Stephanie Lowe, your guest host. We have Lloyd Amele joining us from Atlanta, as well as we have our guest, Chris Winks, who is with Technically Philly, co-founder of Technically Philly. And we'll be right back.
Children laughing, mothers cooking, good food in the air. The holiday season is here, and we see shoppers everywhere. In the new year, twice as often, I give you a dare. Listen to 900 AM WURD as much as you care. We're the station on the dial that is for Black Talk. We don't just give up the lip service. We walk the walk. In North Philly, South Philly, and Chestnut Hill, too, Mount Airy to Southwest, we'd like to be there for you. On Dr. King's Day and the swearing-in of Barack Obama, to City Council and Breakfast with Brady, look to see WURD there, because we really do care. Happy holidays from Thera Martin Connolly and family.
Philadelphia Sheriff Sale. When that door of opportunity opens to home ownership, do you want to be ready to walk right in? If your answer is yes, then pay attention to this message from Sheriff John D. Green. Three times a month, the Philadelphia Sheriff's Office exposes hundreds of properties to sheriff sales at the First District Plaza, 3801 Market Street, beginning at 10 a.m. The mortgage foreclosure sale is held on the first Tuesday of the month. The tax lien sale is conducted on the fourth Thursday of every month. The tax delinquent sale is set for the third Wednesday of each month. For a complete listing of all the properties available at the next sheriff's sale, check out the Philadelphia Daily News, Legal Intelligencer, or your community newspapers. For complete listings and foreclosure prevention information, log on to the sheriff's website at phillysheriff.com or contact the sheriff's office at 215-686-3535. That's 215-686-3535.
This morning, you were the first thing on my mind. I don't know where it came from. All I know is I need you in my life. Yeah. You make me feel like I can be a better woman. If you just say you wanna take this friendship to another place.
Welcome back to 900 AM WURD, your information station committed to solutions. This is Carol's Corner on Technology. I'm your guest host, Stephanie Lowe. Guest host Lloyd Amele is here, as well as we have our in-studio guest, Christopher Wink from Technically Philly. Just want to share with you some announcements before we get back to the conversation. First, we are live, of course, and you can call us with any questions that you may have regarding our Technology 2009 wrap-up at 215-634-8065, 215-634-8065. 1-800-334-8065. Call toll free anywhere in the nation, 1-866-361-0900. And of course, you can always click and listen at 900amwurd.com. We want you to know that you can also become more aware about technology on television through Carol Smith's television show. It's called Philadelphia's Got IT, and it's a 30-minute webcast as well as television program that is hosted by her, the Mayor's Commission on Technology's executive director. She showcases how the city of Philadelphia is using technology to improve the quality of life for its citizens and stimulate economic and human capital development. And her show actually airs on three cable channels, Channel 52, the school district, Channel 64, which is the city government channel, as well as channel 190 on Comcast. And you can see it on Comcast Wednesdays and Fridays at 3 p.m. On the other two channels, the times will vary, so you can check their listings for the actual time. So tune in to Philadelphia's Got IT. It's on it's a monthly program that's on pretty much many times throughout the month. We also want you to know that there is a there are jobs available. You know, on this program, we tell you about scholarships as well as career opportunities. And we just got information about this recently, that distribution specialists are necessary at the company called Paychex, Inc. Paychex, Inc. is a provider of payroll, human resources, and benefits outsourcing solutions for small and mid-sized businesses. But these two opportunities are available at the Norristown Paychex branch. There's a part-time as well as a full-time opportunity available. And you can find out more information by actually emailing jkendrick1@paychex.com. That's jkendrick, K-E-N-D-R-I-C-K, the number one, at Paychex. That's PAYCHEX.com. Or you can go to paychex.com/careers. You can also call the Mayor's Commission on Technology at 215-686-8150 for more information. And we also want you to be aware of a couple scholarships and one internship. Inroads internships are available, and they're awarded to outstanding ethnically diverse students. Only the best and the brightest are selected. So talk about competition. However, you can go to blackstudents.blacknews.com for more information about Inroads internships as well as other internships. And scholarship is available to you. Actually, there are a couple scholarships presented by the Pennsylvania Society of Professional Engineers, the Philadelphia chapter, and there's actually a 2 5-year scholarships of $5,000 per year, lots of money, being provided by Drexel University, as well as Temple University, my alma mater, is as well as Chris's as well.
That's right.
And Kiosh's. All right,
Can we get a cheer for Drexel University?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Thank you. Drexel's in the house too.
even though he's in Atlanta. But Temple University has a 4-year scholarship of $2,000 per year. So these scholarships are available. Applications must be postmarked by January 9th of next year. So please get the information in as quickly as possible. You can go to nspe.org. That's N as in Nancy, S P as in Paul, E.org. Or you can go to the state website for the Pennsylvania Society of Professional Engineers at pspe.org. And finally, you can call for more information at 717-236-2050. That's 717-236-2050. All right, you're up to date on career opportunities, scholarship opportunities. And then finally, we've been telling you about the 11th annual Black Family Technology Awareness Week, which is Sunday, February 14th through Saturday, February 20th. It's a week-long multicultural celebration of technology featuring events that will inform, educate, and entertain kids and adults. And so we are now planning the event logistics, and in January we'll be able to tell you about some of those events, but we want you to mark your calendar for that week-long celebration now, and we are also looking for IT professionals who are willing to join the committee. And so you can call Kiasha Tyson at 215-686-8150, or you can email her at Kiasha, that's K-Y-A-S-H-A dot Tyson, T-Y-S-O-N, at Phila, P-H-I-L-A dot gov for more information. All right. We've got all of our announcements out, and Lloyd is here, Chris is here, and we've got, boy, just a little bit of time. We wanted to turn the conversation to jobs before we closed, obviously, because that's what's on many people's minds. But Chris and Lloyd, you're welcome to chime in here. It's interesting that we see signs of recovery pointing toward job growth in 2010. But it's through my research, I've learned that only some companies are planning to hire only in key areas in IT and possibly favor people with skills that span multiple disciplines. I'm wondering whether or not you're familiar with this. I mean, for example, they're looking for people who they can bring on like a per project basis versus bringing them on full time.
You know, I won't tell you I have anything more than an economics 101 taken as a sophomore. So I certainly won't venture much more than that. But I'll contend that certainly in our coverage, we notice that, yeah, you see a lot of that. And that's something that I think speaks a lot more about the future of the workplace generally, the opportunity to bring on freelancers and project by project basis. I don't know if I believe that that's technology specific. Maybe generally speaking, technology is an industry as a whole that leads the curve in every development. But accounting services. I think any Burger King. I don't know if maybe you'll have freelance Burger King employees in a few years. I don't know if I believe anything won't see the touch of using folks more on a project-by-project basis. I think that's more a statement about the future of the economy. The technology, yeah, I would say I can believe it because technology leaves the curve generally, but I won't pretend to speak to any great knowledge on the matter.
Lloyd?
Well, if you take a look at sites like elancer.com or some of the other freelancer websites that are out there, you start to notice a large growth in those disciplines, IT, computer coding, because of most companies nowadays, they just don't have the budget that they used to keep people on, long term, and so they're picking up people as freelancers. I've done a lot of freelance work for companies in Philadelphia and Connecticut, New York, and it works for the company. The company gets their product, and usually the freelancer gets whatever they ask for, within reason. And like Chris said, it that's the way the economy's starting to go. Just because the budgets aren't as, companies aren't able to secure lines of credit and commercial paper like they used to, and money's tight. It's just the way. It's just sort of the natural progression of the next step of this whole credit crisis that we're going through,
as well as this great recession. Well, thanks for your insight on that, Lloyd. Just want to quickly mention, because we've got literally about a minute left, that in 2010, the most in-demand IT skills for IT professionals are programming and application development, help desk and technical support, IT networking professionals, project management, security, and business intelligence. It's interesting that business intelligence has traditionally been understood as a system that collects historical data and provides tools to analyze it, but this function is now prized for its real-time capability that relies, for instance, on people entering competitive data into a wiki and providing that information almost instantaneously via a portal. So those are the six areas. So IT professionals, if you're not skilled in those areas, you may want to become. We appreciate our listeners tuning in to us tonight, Carol's Corner on Technology. We appreciate Christopher Wink.
Thanks for having me.
Co-founder of Technically Philly being our guest tonight. Lloyd Amele joining us all the way from Atlanta. Lloyd, safe travels back.
Thank you very much.
And we hope that you'll be in the studio next week, right?
Yes, I will. 2010. I'll be right in the studio.
All right. Sounds good. I'm your guest host, Stephanie Lowe. It's been a pleasure to be here on behalf of Carol Smith. And she wishes you, along with her team tonight, joy, health, prosperity, and embrace technology in the new year. Good night.